We're joined right now by Dr. Michael Eric Dyson, Georgetown University sociology professor, also New York Times bestselling author. The book is climbing up the charts on the New York Times bestseller list. It is called Jay-Z Made in America. Dr. Michael Eric Dyson, Jay-Z recently turned 50, and I believe he's more relevant now than he was 20 years ago when he was on top of the rap game. Would you agree with that?
No doubt about it. Here he is, not only one of the most immortal voices and greatest legends in hip-hop, but he's expanded his portfolio, so to speak. He's even, extended his trajectory into the culture. He is a businessman. He is an entrepreneur. He is a tastemaker. He is an iconic figure who has become hip-hop's first billionaire. So I think there's no question, and of course, he's involved himself in politics as well. So there's no question that his relevance is even more keenly felt today than ever before.
How do you think Jay has done such a great job bridging the gap between the generations? I mean, I grew up with the hip-hop in the 90s. Now you notice that the new generation of mumble rappers are also looking at Jay as the GOAT, if you will. How has he done such a great job bridging that gap between the generations of 20 years ago to today?
Well, he's done an incredible job of remaining relevant by staying on top of his game, by always integrating new forms, ideas, and tastes into his own eclectic musical itinerary, so to speak. But he's also maintained, you know, his emphasis on lyricism. So the mumble rappers understand the genius of Jay, what he did to provide the table that they're eating on. And even as they continue to consume new food and generate new ideas, so to speak, to mix metaphors, Jay-Z is there as a kind of impresario, as a kind of guardian and guide, as a kind of godfather figure, but a guy who continues to make relevant music. Think about it, 2 years ago when he made 444, you know, he's not just an old school, oh, this is nostalgic stuff. He's making music right now that hits the top of the charts, that competes with people who are, you know, who could be his children and even younger. So they continue to admire and look up to him, and he continues to extend, you know, his career and provide crucial insight and crucial guidance.
Pharrell wrote the foreword for the new book. It's called Jay-Z Made in America, available wherever you buy your books. You're also a sociology professor, as we said, currently at Georgetown, where you teach a class on Jay-Z himself. Could you take us into that classroom? It's my first day. I just got my syllabus. Can you give us a brief outline as if we were in the classroom quickly?
Yep. Well, we started with the project. What was Marcy Project about? What was Robert Moses doing when he was making bridges that were so low that black people couldn't drive to the beach? What was happening with the political economy of New York City? How did Jay grow up? 1969, he was born. So was Fred Hampton, killed on the same date. What's his link to revolutionary theory and black consciousness? How do we talk about politics and culture and religion? Then we get to Jay-Z. Then we talk about his lyrics. We talk about his lyrics about culture, about crack, about hustling, about poetry, about politics, about religion. Then we look at, I'm not a businessman. I'm a businessman. Let me handle my business there.
Yeah.
So then we spread out and look about that. We look at his relationship with Beyonce and what that means. The good, the bad, the tough times, the beautiful times. And then the resolution as a parent, as a father, and as a figure who is now an iconic a person who stands on a stage with Barack Obama. That's the kind of figure Jay-Z is, and that's what we study.
Dr. Michael Eric Dyson joining us. He is a New York Times bestseller. He's penned over 20 books. He wrote a book about Barack Obama's presidency. Bill Cosby, you were on him early before the mainstream media, you know, found out that he wasn't exactly the greatest guy we thought he was as Mr. Huxtable. But you also penned a book back in 2001, Into the Life of Tupac. You find any similarities between Jay-Z and Pac?
Oh, yeah. Both of them were relentlessly hard workers. They had an incredible work ethic, to be sure, but they were also restless and curious about the world around them. Both of them highly intelligent. Both of them some of the greatest intellectuals that the art form has produced. Both of them concerned about issues far beyond hip-hop, the war, the economy, politics and culture. Of course, you know, Pac was on that far earlier in his own career, but Jay-Z in his own way has been intervening and speaking about these issues as well. And both of them obsessed with making great music that would leave a lasting legacy for the generations to come.
You know, you've talked about the growing cultural divide here within the African-American community in America, as well as systematic racism. And I know we've talked about it. You teach young people. What is the best course of action for the youth in America? And I'm talking blacks, whites, Asians, all races. What can we teach our young people now to help make for a better future?
Well, look, we got to acknowledge the problems that are here. White supremacy, social injustice, economic inequality. We can't pretend they don't exist. We just had the 1619 Project from the New York Times. 400 years since slavery is in this country. If you are not educated about that, not black people, I'm talking about young white people, young Latino people, young people of all colors. This is an American reality that everybody has to grapple with, because everybody was either disadvantaged or benefited from that. Then from there, we go to learning global cultures, what happened around the world with oppression and social injustice, and how America can help create a better future for all peoples. All people coming together. My classrooms look like the United Nations, because all people are consumed by their interest in hip-hop or want to know about how we make a better world for everybody. Younger people who are curious about that must have their imaginations fed, and those who are older must have their history and practices in order so that they can understand what we've come from in order to get to where we want to go. But ultimately, you know, we live in a nation right now because of this presidency that has amplified bigotry and hate towards so many others, whether they're Muslim or gay or Mexican and the like. We've got a nation. We need to have a nation where we overcome those ills in our society to embrace each other. And hip-hop provides a forum where that can occur.
And I know you just mentioned the racial divide and political divide that we have here in this country. And I will say that the current president doesn't exactly do everything that he could to try to bring all races together. If you had the opportunity, or maybe you have had the opportunity to sit down with President Trump, what would you say to him? And what would you think that conversation would be like?
You know, I met him one time. This was while he was running. He came out of an elevator. He saw me. He said, you've been very tough on me, but I love you. If I had your pipes and brains, I'd be president now. So obviously he was very complimentary to me as an individual. And obviously one-on-one, he has tremendous charisma, but he has not done a good job of fostering connectivity, of fostering connections, forging a compact between different groups. Don't exacerbate the tensions. Try to relieve them. Don't create hostility. Try to relieve hostility. So in this instance, I think it's horrible that this president has done so. And I would say to him, sir, you know, there are some things that you've done in terms of criminal justice reforms, in terms of trying to help historically black colleges and universities. Let's focus on the good things that can be done. Let's not ramp up the hate. The white supremacist Stephen Miller you have working for you, you got to say to that to him and to your administration, there's no room for white nationalism in your administration. Let that guy go. Embrace all peoples of all colors, white, black, brown, red, and yellow in this nation, and show that America is the leading place in this world where people are able to rise because of their talent and skill and merit, and not be held back because of gender or sexual orientation or race or class or color. That's the kind of stuff I would say to him.
We're talking with Dr. Michael Eric Dyson here on the show. His new book is called Jay-Z, Made in America. He is a New York Times bestseller. It also contributes to ESPN's The Undefeated. Are you a proponent for reparation? And how would you see that play out if you are behind that?
Absolutely, I am. And it can come in many different forms. It can come in granting educational access. It can come in trying to provide, you know, superior housing for those who have been left out because of racial inequality. It can come with trying to create stimulus among communities of color that have been hit hardest by, say, the housing bubble that burst, that created inequality. The educational forces in this nation are the clearest ones that show a correlation between obtaining a degree and obtaining education and being able to do well. and the vast inequality that exists, the resegregation of American education along lines that existed before the Supreme Court stepped in 1954 and outlawed segregation in schools. So those are a few of the things practically that can be done. But the great Martin Luther King Jr. said in his book, 1963, Why We Can't Wait, if a nation has done something special against the Negro for 250 years, the nation must now do something special for them. So if we have the right mindset, the right outlook, the right intention, we can come up with ways to solve a problem that's been solved in other places of the world. Germany was forced to pay reparations after World War I because of its vicious practices in that region of the world. Jewish brothers and sisters who were victims of the Holocaust were immediately, given reparations, or at least eventually were. So there are ways in which we can do so if we have the will. The greatest thing is to overcome ignorance and create the will to do it nationally.
What about presidential candidates? Do you have one that you're endorsing currently? Do you have somebody now on the Democratic ticket that, or in the Democratic Party that you are showing support to?
Well, I'm just showing support to all of them. Because what we got is so bad, we got to get him out of there and get somebody in with some conscience, some character, some clarity, and some conviction about how we lead this nation forward. And so, look, I'm going to ride with whoever rises, whether that's Bernie Sanders or Joe Biden or Elizabeth Warren or Julian Castro, all of them very, I think, capable candidates, or even if it's Pete Buttigieg, the mayor. Whoever rises to the top and manages to secure the Democratic nomination, I'm rolling with.
Do you think this country is more prepared to elect a female president first or a gay president? As you mentioned, Buttigieg, who is openly married to a man. In your opinion, is America ready to elect a woman and a gay or a gay man in this country?
Well, we thought the same thing when it came to Obama. Nobody thought that Obama had a chance in hell, and yet he prevailed. So the beautiful thing about destiny and at points this democracy is that the stuff you think is impossible is made possible.
And then finally,
who would have thought that black people could even play professional basketball? You know, because the first black player to play professional basketball, Earl Lloyd, died 2 or 3 years ago. That means in our own lifetime, we saw the first. So we always hold out hope that those kind of things can occur.
Really good stuff. And then finally, before I let you go, and we're about ready to spin whichever song you say, what is your all-time favorite Jay-Z song?
My goodness. I guess if I had to choose only one, I'd say Streets is Watching.
Let's get it. Streets is Watching. Special request from Dr. Michael Eric Dyson, our guest here on the show. Thank you so much. Go pick up the new book. It's called Jay-Z, Made in America. Appreciate your time, Doctor.
Thank you so much, my friend.
Just a cheer. Peeping. Watching. Streets.
You boys are so flat,
Brad.
Love you. When it dies,
Streets is watching.
You gotta stay up.
Check it.
Guys,
check.
When you're weak, it's like a salad.
Check. Look, if I shoot you, I'm brainless. But if you shoot me, then you famous. What's a nigga to do when the streets is watching? Blocks keep clocking, waiting for you to break. Make your first mistake, can't ignore it. That's the fastest way to get extorted. But my time is money, and 25, I can't afford it. Beef is sorted like a diver. Chocolates, as you bought it. I pull a slide back and cock it. Plan to board it. You and your mans get a pass. This rhyme, you're operating off time. Y'all niggas ain't worth my shells. All y'all niggas trying to do is hurt my sales and stop trips to John McNeil. The type to start a beef then run to the cops. When I see you in the street, got one in the drop. When I'd rather be on tour getting 100 a pop, taking pictures with some